grateful for the Lord building a team to lead worship, for Kathy's leadership, and now Mark's. Mark said something interesting this morning, which every time I hear it, I think of something. He said, as we sit underneath God's word, Austin, I got some feedback from him. He said, as we sit underneath God's word, and that's what I love again about this church, that it teaches the whole word of God. It preaches and proclaims the whole word of God. I don't know if you knew this, but back in the old church, well, at least the 12s, 13s, 1400s, what we would call old church, they would have a big 3x3 Bible. Who knows how big they got, really. But I've seen old King James Bibles, 2.5x3 or something. What they would do is it would be elevated, and then it would be big, so therefore it's on a big platform. So where do you think the man is? He's like almost underneath it. I mean, you really don't see the man. You can see his head maybe a little bit here. Hopefully hear his voice because he's proclaiming it. But now we've got these little Bibles, and we hope to come down and still try to get underneath it, you know, because you should see the word. We need to see the word. It's the word of God who came to the first church through James and Peter and others to say, okay, you're transforming your life. The Lord is transforming your life from either being Jewish to now Christian, the bride of Christ, or being secular or Gentile to Christian. That's what we want to do and be reminded of. That we're that church. If you would say the old veterans of the church have passed away, many of them martyred, all of them died in faith or for the faith. You're gonna die or be raptured for and in the faith. And we want to be witnesses of this word. I don't know if you know, but I think it's a week ago, YouTube canceled one of our teachings. I don't know if you knew that, because I mentioned some truth. We're going to see more of that, I'm sure. We need to, you know, we need to do our best to extend the word to everyone. We have hearers online and all that stuff now, but we can't shrink back. We have to teach the word, and especially in the situation that we are in America. And James is doing the same thing. He's sending it out to them. And we want to do the same thing. One of those issues today is the critical race theory. Again, I might be in trouble today. They might cancel me, or us, or whatever. The critical race theory, which is weird. There's these privileges that white people have. White people have, in particular. Even white people are saying this. I pointed this out over a year ago. There was a Christian professor at Baylor who kind of told the white people of the church that they'd been in sin. And especially at that point, we knew we were in trouble as far as what are we going to hear going forward. I don't know about you. I don't feel like I was privileged when I was younger. I think that there is a factual issue in most Americans' lives, and that is this, what Paul said. If you don't work, you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. And some people have just been gifted in different ways, both materially and spiritually, well, especially spiritually, but even materially and physically and gifted talents, like song, like business-minded, all these kinds of things. We're going to point our fingers at God and say, God, you made a mistake. I don't think so. J.D. Rockefeller who was asked, how much money is enough? And you've all heard what he said. You remember maybe. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. At the time, he was making $75,000 a year and spending at his means, he said. You have the rich and the poor in our midst, in our nation, and in our world. It is a given fact. Jesus said, you will always have the poor with you. Always. I threw the second always in there. When we think of the rich, we think of different thoughts, you know, depending on what kind of proclivities you have. We may get a little jealous. We may even get a little angry. How come they have so much money? Get a little emotional. We kind of start maybe looking at our little corner of the world and saying, I wish I just had a little bit more. You sound just like J.D., right? Rockefeller. Hopefully, maybe we're happy for them. And we're not judging them. But on the other hand, some rich may say, well, go get a job, go work. I work for a living, you know, and all those kinds of things. There's these kinds of thoughts that come when we talk about the rich and the poor. We may be happy that, well, I'm not rich, but I'm poor. I'm not poor. I'm glad you're rich. I'm happy for you, etc., etc. And that's where we should be. Because we've all been given a place in life. Every one of us has been given a place in life. You ever hit the lotto or hear somebody who hits the lotto? All of a sudden they have relatives that they never heard of. Friends that they never had before. Because the rich comes with it. Status, right? World, even power, worldly friends. But are they real? With the poor, you want more power. You want more money. Where does that lead? We want less worry. But I think everybody has worry. What is the truth? To find out what your status is in life and look to the God who opens his hand and gives to you freely. The truth is, being rich is three things. It's fleeting, it's temporary, and it's relative. And so is poor. Being poor is fleeting, it's temporary, and it's relative. It's relative. And the grass is not greener on the other side, except I think in the kingdom. Joel Osteen writes in his book, Your Best Life Now. He says, if things aren't going your way, and you know, he writes between the lines. You know. He writes between the lines. I like he's using the principles of God and he's using the ideas of faith. But he's talking about being rich. Don't kid yourself. And if you aren't rich, something's wrong. And he would say, well, there's adversity and there's but you can get through those things. In fact, that's what it's about. Struggle through your adversity, get through the past, forget the past, and get on to it. And this is what he says. Keep praying, keep believing, keep standing. And he uses Ephesians chapter 5 and the armor of God to take your stand. And then he says this, and this is a quote, payday is coming. You could read those books for your own good to understand his teaching and his false prosperity teaching, but otherwise just throw those away. That's not the gospel. The Bible, let's be clear here, okay? The Bible never says, ever, don't be rich. It never says that. And in fact, it never ever says, don't be poor in money. Ever. It doesn't say, don't be. But it simply just gives three warnings. One, don't rely on your wealth. If you have it, praise the Lord and bless His name. And if others have it, bless God for them. Okay? The warning is don't rely on it. Mark 4:9. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And that's for the rich and the poor, by the way. The poor say, well, I want some more. I want to be rich. Well, now you're entangled in that idea and not the word. And the rich say, well, I want to keep it. I want to, you know, I'm going to rely on it. This is my power. This is my help here. And that's fruitful. Number two, striving for wealth. Do not strive for wealth. 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who want to be rich, however, fall into temptation and become ensnared by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money. That's the key. Remember what it says. It's people will misquote it and say money is the root of all evil. That is a lie. If that's the truth, then Jesus told his disciples to go, remember, get the fish and take the coins out of and give the temple tax. Because it's useful. Money is very useful. Keep yourself from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God has said, never will I leave you, or never will I forsake you. Isn't that interesting? Don't run after that. Don't give your love to that, because I'm with you. I am with you. And then the third warning, so number one is don't rely on it. Number two is don't strive for it. And number three is don't store it up. Don't pack it away. Matthew 6:18, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where the thieves break in and steal it, where the lawyers and the government take over and get it at the end. I added that. Don't store it up. Use it. Use it for good. James later on is going to say, you ask but you receive not, because you're going to use it for your own good. We want to use it for living, our own needs, and the needs of others as God appoints it. But see, these three warnings, even these three warnings that are given here and are very biblical, is not the point of the text. It's not the point of what James is getting at. It's not the point. Some are rich. We want to make that clear. Some are rich. And I put the words relatively or stinking. Some are just stinking rich. And that's not bad. Some are poor. And I will add, relatively and stinking poor. We don't want to be that necessarily, but we have to rely on these facts before facing the truth that is in James. There is a status in life, and we have to face up to it. But let's set the foundation. Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And that's specifically to the man, by the way. But to the woman, if she wishes, and that she's not idle. Remember, there's even a mention of women and widows being idle, so they won't be idle. But 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, all aspire to live quietly, to attend to your own matters, and work with your own hands. Don't be a busybody. Don't get into other people's business and work. That's what Paul is saying. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for members of his household, you see that case there? He has denied the faith. Listen to what he said. He has denied the faith. Why? Because there's no love in you. Go back to John. If there's no love in you, you have no faith. There has to be love in you. Because that's what replaced the old man. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty stark. If you don't care for your own household. So if you're healthy, work. There's stipulations. If you're healthy, you work according to the gifts that you have, the opportunities that you have, the market of the culture, right? The culture, whether it's democratic or whether, and I'm not talking about blue, I'm talking about capitalism and all those kinds of things. Work within the market. If you're healthy, then work. Just don't strive. Just don't strive for it. Just don't give your life to work. You've heard that old saying. Nobody ever said on their deathbed, I wish I would have had one more day in the office. Or even the golf course. Those fleeting things. You can love work and you can love the golf course. Don't give your life to them. Here's the case. Either way, before we go forward into James, either way, must acknowledge it's from above. Every good gift is from above. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about material gifts. And if you're worshiping the Lord, if you're saying, thank you, Lord, for what I have, you're in good standing. You're in good standing. For the rich, the Bible would say every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that has not been given to you? You could say, well, I attained this on my own. Never, ever, ever. Now, you can take that too far and say, listen, Amazon got rich because they, you know, we made them rich. All the people of the earth made them rich. That's kind of the way this the left is going. Or I don't even say the left. I mean the way left. It's like the people got rich, but we made them, so they owe us. That is horribly wrong. If we make a decision to buy from Amazon, that's my decision. They can charge what they want, and I'm going to say no or yes. I'm not making them rich. I'm getting what I desire or need. John 3:27. A man can receive only what is given him from the heaven. Now you can say, well, that just means a spiritual gift, or that just means salvation, or you can say that means everything, and you should be saying that means everything. Every good gift comes down from the Father above. You've heard stories where people give up the riches to go on the mission field. And I told the life of concerning C.T. Studd, I think, a couple years ago. Remember him? Where he was rich in England, and he gave everything up. He was a good cricketer, I think, and was good in sports, and had all those things. He gave everything up and went and died in the mission field. You can do that. That's not wrong. But the Bible's not telling you to do that. The Bible's not calling the rich to give up their money. He is not. He is not the rich in general. Okay? To the rich man in Matthew 19, he says, go give. He says, you lack something. That man lacks something. He said, to be perfect, go give away your money. So don't take that to say that means everybody. That man lacks something. And it was for the love of Christ to give up what he had and follow Jesus. So whatever you have, acknowledge and be grateful for it. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do unto the Lord, do as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. I think about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, and you know, I don't know him really as a person, but I know this. He bows on the field, he kneels on the field to praise and pray to the Lord, and he's probably fairly well off. And he's living for the Lord. And he's doing lots of good stuff. We mentioned Solomon in this chapter, and he asked for wisdom. And then what did the Lord say? Because you've asked for wisdom to lead my people, I will give you everything else. And he got rich and he got everything else. And is that a pattern? That is a pattern. Folks, that is a pattern. And yet, the prosperity doctrine would say, well, that's a strict pattern. And it's not a strict pattern. It's a pattern for saying, if you follow after the Lord, he will bring you up as a child in the way that you should go and give you what you need. That's what it means. If you need something for this life, he's going to give it to you. The Lord God has given you everything you need for life and godliness, 2 Peter. So he'll give you whatever you need if you ask. And don't doubt. And he'll give you what you need. We're all been given gifts. Romans 12, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we through many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Now that's really clear, and I don't even need to preach through that. But watch this, this is very helpful. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, anybody here, sir, don't raise your hand. But you know people who serve here, don't you? And they are gifted to do it. And they give. Right? You know teachers here who are gifted to do it, and they do it. And they don't pull back. Right? And so, for the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts. Do you encourage other? Even exhort? Remember, an exhort is telling the truth and telling them to move on from where they're at. That takes courage. Let them do it. The one who contributes? Now, wait a minute. What is this talking about? Contributes. I was talking about giving money. Can anybody afford giving thousands of dollars a month? Don't raise your hand. I don't care. Can anybody afford right now to write a $10,000 check? I don't care. But the point is, not all of us can. And I would say not even most. I'm just guessing. But some can. Where does that come from? So with that money should come a heart to say, I want to give. But it's the same with teaching. Because that rich person may not be able to teach. And which one do you need the most? We may lose this church someday. We may be in house churches someday. We don't know. We don't know where we will be. Money is going to be needed, but it will be the last thing we need. We'll need what first? Teaching. We'll need teaching. We'll need prophecy and faith. We'll need exhortation. And all those things. And really, the church can't live without all these things together. The one who contributes, let him contribute in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. Do you need a leader? Do we have leaders here? I see them up here every morning. We need leaders, and we need gifted leaders, and they need to give in their zeal. In their courage. Let me show you where this needs to go. Let us lead the flock one way or the other. The one who does acts of mercy. I fall so short of some of this stuff. And I know people who don't. And I need them to give to fill up what I can't give. Don't you? It's the same all the way across. That where you lack, you pray for others so that they will be able to fill it in. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Whatever you have, be thankful. 2 Corinthians 9, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly, again, we're just not talking money here. If you have a gift of anything, and if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, in this context, Paul is talking about giving to the church. That is true. But you can see that it goes to everything. He has distributed freely the gifts of God. When he ascended, when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. You already have them, men and women. And we're to use them, not sparingly. 1 John 3:17, whoever has this world's good and see his brother have need and shuts up the bowels of compassion from him, has how dwells the love of God in him? It doesn't. The issue is all possessions are given from above. All are given to the above. Now, let's apologize for that. Let's get into the pertinent text. We've preached on the other text up to now. Let's just deal with these. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. In the midst of his pursuits. However, he got there. We're all in Christ. The poor and the low person in the world's eyes are elevated to a great degree and a great position in Christ. And the rich person, or the relatively high person, I should just say high person in the status of the world, is lowered to an astounding degree in this world, in the world's concept, and in the church. The rich come into the church and they find mostly poor or relatively poor. And they find somebody, watch this, and they find somebody to sing hymns with, and they find somebody to preach the word with, and teach the word, and share a hug, and share the joy. Now, we would say, well, they've been brought in amongst the poor, they've been brought low. And in some sense, to the world, that's the truth. Who do you, the rich, hang around with? You poor folks. But watch what happens to the poor. The poor come into the church, and they sing the same songs. And they hear the same teachings, they eat the same fellowship food, and they're hugging the same persons. And they've been lifted up. What has happened? What has happened? A meeting right there. We have a meeting right there of the mind, of the heart, where one has been brought low and one has been brought up, and we meet right there with Christ, where we all want to be. And in fact, even the rich would say that when they come in and their heart is filled with the love of God, they've been exalted to the greatest heights. Isn't that the truth? Because now there's no pursuit of the world, except maybe when they walk out the door, they got to work with that temptation. But even with the poor has been lifted up to great heights, praising the Lord. And I never knew I could have a life like this. I lived that life. I never knew I could be full of joy and have God in my heart. Have God in my heart and have a family like this. And I do. My problem is that I go outside that door and I struggle for in what I've lived through, what I desire, what I want to be. That's where the problem starts for the rich and the poor. See, even out there, and probably I would even say, especially out there, you know who you are? You're the church. You're the church. And your brothers and sisters are out there struggling with you. The church. We've all been brought into the body of Christ. God's people, singing, feasting together. And by the way, in the millennium, that's where all this will stop. All the jealousy, all the inequity, if you want to call it that. I don't like that word recently. All the inequality, I don't like that word. YouTube, I don't like it. You know who your father is? I mean, your worldly father? It's Adam. It doesn't matter what DNA. It doesn't matter what do those DNA agencies now tell you? Where, you know, UK, Irish, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. You know who another worldly father is? Noah. You all came from Noah. And you can tell every friend and person you know, we're of that DNA. Now, God did some different things after that, and that's up to Him. The rich will come in here to the church and pull away from that, from those desires that maybe drove them in the past, but the poor do the same thing, the exact same thing. And we come in here and we lay all those desires, wrongful desires, at the feet of God and say, and then we all say, again, Lord, what gift have you given me from above? What do I have? And it's not, I'm telling you, most of us are not going to have a pot of gold. But you're going to have something God has given you from above. Everybody does. And for us to say, well, I want something else, isn't that ridiculous? Lord, you didn't know what you were doing. When Jesus ascended, it gave you a gift. Jesus, sorry, you got it wrong. I don't think so. To the poor, Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. With me, with Jesus, with God the Father, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and righteousness. Isaiah 29:19, the humble will increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do we really want to die with $1 billion in the bank? I do not. Check me tomorrow. I might have to repent again. The humble are lifted up. To the rich, watch this. Proverbs 18:19, so in that same status, to the rich, verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, pure gold, and my harvest surpasses choice silver. The rich find something better than what the world offers. Jeremiah 9:23-24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who boasts, you all know the rest of this, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Praise the Lord. And we all know him together. It's a fantastic concept. It's wonderful. We're not all equal. We're not all equal. Do you all have the gift of teaching? The gift of giving? The gift of mercy? We're not all equal. But we're in one body, different members. Praise the Lord for it. We're not all the same, but we're in the same body. We're all brothers. We've all been brought low. We've all been brought low. And yet we've all been brought high. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Psalm 112:3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Proverbs 3:16, length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Riches and honor are in God's wisdom from above. Worldly riches are fleeting, and so is poverty. Watch this. I studied this a little bit. I've heard this in the past. You know, you hear something that says, well, the poorest 20%, and you won't be able to see this, but I'll show it to you in a second. I'll guide you through it. I've heard in the past that the poorest 10% or so of Americans are richer than 95% of the rest of the world. And I've heard that, and there's some truth to that, okay? There is some truth to that, and if you want to use those, go look it up for yourself. But I came across this one, which may be a little bit more helpful, and this author was explaining this a little bit better. On the far left, you have $35,000 up on the top. The United States is in that line. It's about $33,000. It's the average consumption per person. The average consumption in dollars. You consume, on average, $32,000 every year. Then you have Luxembourg and Switzerland and Austria and Germany and Italy and Norway and on down the line, all right? Then you get to Finland, Ireland, France, the Netherlands, and then with that arrow you have the United States again. The lowest 20% of U.S. households still consume $22,000 a year, each person. That's what that says. Now again, I don't know who does this data and who can even work through that stuff. But it's telling. And this is the point. Being rich is relative. It's all relative. But let's just throw this out. Throw this chart out if you want. Compare yourself to the kingdom of God. Compare yourself to, I don't know, 200 years from now when we're in the kingdom. Compare yourself to what is stored up in heaven, treasures in heaven for you. Okay, can't do that? Compare what you have physically, a house, a car, and your bank account, to the gift of salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts He's given you now. Which one are you going to take? Doesn't even come close. Because one is relative and one is fleeting. And that's fleeting, and the other is not. It is not relative, and it is never fleeting. It is a forever gift. It is a package of a gift that God has given you. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. James 2:5-6. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? Here's the point. We want to be very rich in faith. We want to be poor in spirit. And what that means is we're not haughty. We're not proud of anything in our life. We boast in the Lord, and our faith is lifted up. And we have great faith in Christ. When James is going to talk about that man who looks in the mirror, and then he forgets who he is, and he goes away and he's double-minded. When you look in the mirror, you don't want to see Jesus, okay? That's a lie. You want to see the righteousness of Christ, all right? But you want to see you. And you want to see the reborn you. I've been born again with gifts from above and given something to do in this planet. What more do you want? What more do you want? Not forgetting that he who does not feed his relatives should eat. We've got those things and we've got those facts and we've got those things that we just can't get over, and that's fine. That's good. But the greatest thing of all is that you are in a body of Christ where we're all one in the Spirit, one in the Lord, And we are rich beyond compare. We are rich beyond the planet's dreams. Let's stand and sing this last verse, this one verse, of all creatures of our God and King. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. All sing ye hallelujah. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Lord God, thank you for this family. Thank you for the body that is Christ. Thank you so much that we have a place to come and hear your word, to sit under your word and be humbled to it, so that we can be lifted up and sing songs of praise and songs of joy, songs of salvation, and love each other and love you first. Thank you for allowing us to do that, and in fact, enabling us to do it by your Spirit and by your word. We're so very grateful. We worship you and we praise you, and we go out from here remembering you are our God. We love you so greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.